Christian for any length of time, really, I'm sure at some point you've got to the point of asking, God, why are you allowing me, causing me, to suffer in the way I am? Lord, I trust you. My faith is in you. But I don't understand why you're taking me through this. Perhaps one thing arrives on top of another, and you really can't understand because you thought the last thing that happened that wasn't great was already too much to bear, and then something else happens. Have you ever been there? Most people who have been a Christian for, like I say, any length of time will have been there. And it's a hard question to answer. We know that God works all things together for good for those who trust in him, but sometimes it's hard to see how on earth is this going to work for good in my life. Not just now, but further on, I just can't cope. Well, there is something of an answer to that question, something to hold on to in the verses we're looking at in 1 Peter today. We're looking particularly at the end of verse 6 and verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read those words to you now. So from the end of verse 6 and through verse 7, Peter writes, "You suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So here we get some sort of answer to the question, why do we suffer? Why do we go through grief and trials? Why? Well, Peter tells us, and the answer comes in stages. The first stage is this: so that the proven character of your faith. Let's just stop there for a moment. Trials, griefs, sufferings in the Christian life, they prove the character of your faith. It's amazing to see how Christians who are suffering and finding it hard to understand why they are suffering, nevertheless, hang on, sometimes by the very coattails, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith in him remains. They don't know what he's doing or why he's doing it, but still, they trust him. They hold on to him, even though they wonder, like I say, what he's doing. It's so that proven character of your faith is proven. Your faith is real. Despite yourself, you don't give up believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him. Despite all the evidence that says, why would I do that when things are so hard? You hold on. It proves the character of your faith, that you are not letting go of him because he does not let go of you no matter what. So you suffer grief in various trials so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire. The process of refining gold was one of putting the pure gold into a pot, if you like. But of course, it wasn't just pure gold. It had all sorts of impurities attached to it. And then the heat was applied. The heat was applied to separate out the gold from the impurities. The impurities rising to the top and scraped off, leaving eventually just pure gold. But heat had to be applied for that to happen. And it's like that in the Christian life. Our faith, it's pure, if you like, from the word go as a Christian. It's pure in that it's there and it's the genuine thing. But of course, it has impurities attached to it. All of us, to some extent as Christians, our faith will have impurities attached to it. We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the real and genuine thing as far as faith goes, saving faith. But if we're honest, all of us have some impurities attached. We put our faith in God because we in some way expect God to bless us in this life with health, in terms of our family, in terms of our finances. So in order for those impurities that are attached to the genuine faith that is there, heat has to be applied. So the impurities are removed. And that might involve taking away the very things that you valued from God, such as health, wealth, comfort, sleep, whatever it may be. Those things are stripped away to purify that faith which hangs on to Christ alone as the most valuable thing. It purifies that faith. But there's more. Again, let me read. I'm just going to miss out the middle bit this time, the more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire. That's kind of in brackets. So let me read to you like this. You suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now just take that in. When you read those words, so that your faith, the proven character of it, it's proven to be real by those various sufferings and trials where nevertheless you hold on to Christ and everything else that you held on is stripped away. You hold on to Christ so the proven character of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let us ask a question just there. Praise, glory, and honour for who? Now we might immediately, especially if we've grown up in more, I'm going to say, reformed Christian circles, we might immediately jump to the conclusion that praise, glory, and honour is for God, for Christ. Now it's true that our ultimate salvation on the day when Christ returns will result in praise, glory, and honour for Jesus Christ and for God. It will glorify him. But that's not actually what's in view in this particular verse. The praise, glory, and honour is for the Christian whose faith has not failed under severe trial. So, listen again, realising that the praise, glory, and honour will be for you when Christ returns. You suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, the proven character of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There will be a reward for the fact that your faith has not failed in the most difficult of trials. You will receive praise, glory, and honour. So that suffering now will be more than worth it then. There is a reward waiting for you. That praise, glory, and honour will come from Jesus Christ himself, as he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant."